a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Will the Secretary please take the roll?
Senators Brown.
Here.
Frerichs.
Here.
Gray. Heineman.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Putnam.
Here.
And Rave.
Here.
Representatives Cronin.
Here.
Fargin.
Here.
Hunoff.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Lust.
Here.
Gosch.
Here.
And Roush.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, Mayor.
The agenda before you, I have one change to that agenda would be a second calendar that we'd need to look at for the redistricting special session. So we'll talk about that also. So we might as well get started. We've had three plans that have been out and circulating somewhat, plans A, B, and C. With that, I will open it up for committee discussion. Mr. Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think if I just call everybody's attention to Plan C, first off, I'd like to thank Jim Fry for bringing a number of options. The only change that I know of, and if there's others, but if you look February, the third week of February, on Plan B, it was a four-day weekend at the end of the week on that third week. And this just moves those 4 days, so that way there would be a three-day weekend before. Then, of course, still that three-day weekend over the President's Day holiday. The only reason for that was it'd be nice to have another three-day weekend. Not sure what the need would be for a four-day weekend in there, so that's what it allows us. 2 3-day instead of 1 2-day before and a four-day weekend at the end.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
Yes, Chair.
Senator Rave.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, maybe we could just open the discussion. I mean, I lived the battle where we went from 5 day weeks and Saturdays, and then I actually openly opposed going to 4 day weeks. But what's the thought of going back to mostly 5 day weeks? If we could have that discussion, I think that merits some discussion, since we had some pretty dragged down knockout fights to get from 5 to 4, and I think everybody's fairly comfortable with it now. So maybe just to, not that that's good or bad, let's just have that discussion, since we lived through it, and so did Senator Putnam.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to speak about it. I'll just give you my perspective on it, and everyone else's may be different, but the fact of the matter is the five-day week saved me money, because I didn't have to have all I rent from a certain place, and I pay a certain amount of money, so if I went back to the daily rental, I'd save some money with regard to saying. The 4 days weeks helped me with my business immensely. I was able to go home and spend a day where I actually could deal with things and even deal with people and constituents that were on the job. And so either way would work for me, but it needs to be brought out that the 4 day week did help me as a business person. Some of the retired folks that come here and can be part of this process, that really helps, I'm sure. But as a business person, that did give me the opportunity to sit down with my folks during a regular business hours. If something came up, I could call the bank, or if there were issues came up on legislative matters, they were in the courthouse when I could talk to them. So that was an advantage for me. But there's some savings for me if I go to the five, because I'm not paying the bill. But thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Senator Rafe?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, yeah, I mean, those are obviously the concerns that I know Senator Putnam and I sat here, and I think we both argued against that at the time, if I recall right. But I don't know. I guess I'm just not in favor. It's probably the road we're going to go down. I'm just not in favor of the flipping back and forth that, you know, we've already got hurdles that I notice in the folks come up here at night and provide us opportunities to meet with the various groups. And we've already, have had some serious, I believe, challenges in meeting that hurdle where you got 3-4 groups up here a night. They expect to spend a little time there. And that was part of the problem in switching from 5 to 4 days. And I don't know. I do like the 4 day weekend. To Senator Frerichs' point, I actually liked the 4 day weekend this time. There was a lot of folks that did a kind of a family President's Day weekend, whether they went out there or to the hills or wherever. But that was all of our kids. A lot of kids have the weekend off too. So I actually liked the 4 day weekend in there. But.
Well, I think as we were out this year, the storm came in, and we'd probably taken a day off anyway, had we not had it off. But schedule plan A was somewhat pulled by me, and maybe you guys can address my my fear or concern was is that to have crossover on a Monday and then final bill voting on a Monday, to me it seemed more continuous to put it on a Friday rather than a Monday, and maybe that's a fear that I'm the only one that has. I thought it worked better. We could certainly entertain plan A if that would give us the 4-day work weeks, but it pushes everything to Mondays then for the crossovers and the final bill days. So if that's not a fear, and maybe I was the only one looking at it, I'm certainly not opposed to revisiting that issue. Senator Gray?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I certainly like the idea of getting done in February. Having said that, on this plan, we are done in the middle of the week on a Wednesday. What I guess I would suggest is let's end on that Thursday, the 1st, and just plug one more 4-day work week in there. In terms of what you're discussing, I think on one hand, having that weekend sometimes doesn't make sense. On the other hand, trying to have the last day for a bill to pass the House of Origin on a Friday can also be problematic in that it's a Friday. And on one hand, as a presiding officer, you might want to, it might give people incentive not to talk as much. But on the other hand, we often know how those crossover days go and that we actually do need the time. And I'm not sure people will be real keen on that being a Friday.
Further comments? Senator Grave.
As Representative Less pointed out, great minds think alike. That was the sidebar discussion that he and I were having, and I would have to agree with Senator Gray. I personally am not excited about the Friday. I prefer to have crossover on a Monday, I guess, frankly. I've lived here. Sometimes we've had crossover went pretty late on a Friday, so I don't know. I guess I have those same concerns. I don't know if that's enough to change the plans, but...
Does everybody still have Plan A? Does everybody have a copy of Plan A?
I did not. I thought it was dead as a doornail, so I let it die. So all it would change is, if I might, sure.
Please.
To reprise Plan A, you could take, you could insert a Friday off either on the 3rd of February or you could insert it on the 10th, and you could get them out of committee on Thursday the 9th. And then on third Monday the 13th would be your last day out of House of Origin. So you'd have a crunch day on Thursday, 3 days off, and then the floor crunch day on the 13th. If you wanted to do that, Plan A actually gave you the Friday the 3rd off, which did the same, which pushed the days out of committee to the 10th and the day final day out of crossover and final day to the 13th and on Monday. In other words, and I would do that. I would have the same domino effect for a day out of both houses as well. So either, but the 3rd or the 10th would be candidates, and then we would take the 1st of March, which is since you're right, it's in the middle of the week, would probably be no big deal. The only concern I have for budget purposes is that I can't pay for another week's of travel. But as long as we're still in the same week, we're okay.
Senator Gray,
Mr. Chairman, for purposes of discussion, I would move. I would make a motion at this time that we adopt a plan. Let's call it Plan D. And if you look at calendar Plan B, that we take Plan B but take the 27th of January off and the 3rd of February off. Mr. Chairman, if I could just discuss that motion.
Please.
What this would do is it would push our crossover day to a Tuesday rather than a Monday. It would also push us back to ending session on a Friday the 2nd, rather than midweek.
February the 3rd, Senator.
Was that second, that motion?
Second.
Okay, thank you.
The 3rd.
No, I said the 3rd of February and then January 27th.
January 27th. And February 3rd. So it changes the, keeps the first 4 weeks. First 4 weeks are all 4-day weeks. Is that correct?
Except for the 6th to the 10th, if I'm looking at it right, that should be the only 5-day work week, yep.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the last week.
It'd still be okay then. Oh, it'd still be a 7-day hiatus. Okay. So it'd be okay. So the 19th would still be all right.
Any further discussion on Plan D? Representative Hanoff?
I like that a lot better. I really think the 4-day weeks work good for people who need to get home to a business or a school or whatever, or family. So when you live four hours away, you spend too much time driving for a 2-day weekend. So I appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. That extra week, though, causes me to drive 8 hours more four each way. No, just kidding. Senator Frerichs, did you have a...
Mr. Chair.
Senator Frerichs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think that whatever it sounds like, it's a pretty good move forward. But I'm just wondering, before I have preparatory remarks, I wonder about an amendment. But I've only heard a few mention concerns on that 4-day weekend. I'm just still curious as to how important that really is to have. I understand if you have family come out, maybe you want to go on that Thursday night before and have all the Friday. But to me, to have 4 days off on a whole weekend is a long time. Whereas if we could still have, going off of a 5-day week the week before, it'd be nice to have 3 days on that weekend. So still looking at that third week of February, wondering if the mayor, the motion would take that as friendly, or maybe you're set on the 4-day.
So what you would be saying is just not have a session on that Monday the 13th.
That's correct.
And have it on the 17th instead. Just slide those 4 days over one space.
We didn't do it formally, Ken, but maybe there's...
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gray.
Well, I mean, I can live with either. Certainly, I don't travel like the rest of you do, but I sort of like having that 4-day weekend in the middle. Sort of in the middle of session. You have the holiday in there for one, but, so you don't get as much stuff done on the holiday anyway in terms of meeting with constituents, but, that's really the last chance to, in my mind, that Friday, either to be at work or to be meeting with constituents on that Friday or Saturday.
Senator Rafe.
Well, I still go back to, I like the 4-day weekend, and really, I think, Senator Frerichs, it probably would have more merit. Well, I would agree it has a lot more merit if we had jumped over to the next Monday. So, in other words, if we had to come back in Monday, the, whatever the first Monday in March is, or
6th,
the 5th. Yeah, if we had to come back the 5th, I would agree that would make a lot of sense. I'm not sure what I like. I guess my opinion is I like having it in there, and I thought it was a nice break. I thought it worked well this year, actually, and since it doesn't push us into another week, I'm not sure it's a huge concern.
Sure. Senator Frerichs.
I'll move that we make that change, make an amendment to... still have the 13th off and have session on the 17th of that week.
Is there a second? Further comments? Senator Frerichs?
Yeah, thank you, and I certainly do appreciate the dialogue here. My reasoning, though, for this is, to have, whether it's Friday that week or Monday that week, we still can be back where there's business happening back home, and a 3-day weekend is really a lot better for work that needs to be done. For people to get back home, and to only have 2 days for those of us that do drive 4 hours and try to make back every weekend. It is when you only have 2 days, and especially coming off a 5-day week before, I'm sure some people would say, well, we'll just wait and then we'll stick it out. Well, if there are those vacations on a 4-day weekend, then people really don't get back home. And so I would ask for support for the amendment. I think it still keeps us in check with everything else, and that's my reasoning.
Further comments? Representative Hanoff?
Yeah, thank you. No, boy, I would agree. I think my wife and my dog almost get tired of me after 4 days. So I think 3 is about how much they could take. But really, we have some people drive 5 hours. And I know many of you around the table drive. You get down to Dakota Dunes in our area, it'd be a 5-hour drive. And take that out of a 2-day weekend, it's you spend a good share of the time on the road. So I'd sure appreciate the motion.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To make sure this isn't a partisan amendment vote, I'm supportive of Senator Farrick's idea as well. I think that 2 3-day weekends right in the middle where all of us may need to stretch our legs a little bit and have some time away from each other would be more beneficial than that one long 4 days.
Thank you. And I have no heartburn with either one. I think I know how we've operated on many of the last days of the weeks here. We can still almost have a 4-day weekend by going in early and be after, you know, final bills out of the house. And probably the workload is going to be such where you'd be able to do that. So you can, I mean, a lot of our weekends are, quite frankly, a little longer than 3-day weekends anyway, but. So either way, I wouldn't have heartburn with that. It was nice this year with our local school was off, and so it was a nice 4-day weekend with my family where we could actually go someplace rather than just be at home. So I did enjoy that, but I don't have any heartburn either way. Any further remarks?
Sam Josh. Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'm sitting here thinking about it. I really do like that 4-day weekend, and so I'm going to support that. The original motion of a Plan D with a 4-day weekend.
Further remarks? Hearing none. All those in favor of the Frerichs motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Motion fails. We're back to Gray's motion to adopt Plan D. Representative Lust.
I would just like to say to the minority leader in the House that if his wife gets sick of him after 4 days, you can imagine our struggles here in the legislature. Like, we have you for 35.
Any further remarks on Plan D, Representative Gray's, Senator Gray's motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of Senator Gray's motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That motion carries. It is Plan D.
Yep. And we have to put the 35-day thing back in the red book. We took it out at the other.
Okay. As you see on the agenda, there's a bullet point, reestablish those legislative days.
Can I just say that I'm finally happy to have unanimous consent on something this session.
In the Red Book, of course, we had to change those legislative deadlines for the 35-day session. We'll need to reinstate those. Is there a motion to do so? Representative by Gosh, second by Fargin. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That motion carries. The second calendar, typically they've had a day in October in which they do the redistricting special session. So in the past, the last time it was October 24th.
Yes, sir.
And that date is still available. It's a Monday, October 24th. And we would throw that out for discussion. Any discussion on that? Senator Grave?
I think the 24th is fine. I guess maybe a little history or maybe a little information would be applicable. Is there any reason to have it early? Is there any reason to have it later? Are we waiting for stuff to come in? Are we waiting for deadlines? And maybe you can give us a little background so we can have a informed
decision. Mr. Fry, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Historically, this was the amount of time it took. By the time we brought all of the powers to bear, plus the conurbation districts, if we do conurbation districts for the two metro areas in the state, Rapid and Sioux Falls, by the time we get all that puzzled together, we were into October. But October 24th did give us enough time because, as you know, we have to pre-clear our plan with the Department of Justice in Washington. And so it gives us time to get that request for pre-clearance out to them and then get a response back by the session. And it still gets us done in time to meet the December 1st deadline, after which, of course, we would cede jurisdiction to the Supreme Court. They don't want it, and we don't want to do that. So, yes, timing-wise, the 24th worked really well the one time I've been involved with it, and it's usually been in October. So,
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. I would move, Mr. Speaker, that we calendar that day for the 24th.
Second.
Moved and seconded by Senator Rave. Any further remarks on that?
We can do the voice votes on all these, can't we?
Yeah.
All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Any further business? Senator Rave.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I've spoken to many of you about this idea, and I'm not going to bring an amendment, and I spoke with Senator Gray about it this morning, and he advised maybe a good way to approach it, and maybe it never gets traction, is that, but we, at least we talk about it today and vet the idea a little bit, and we'll come back and meet again next January. But I really put a lot of thought into this, and I just want to vet it with this group and see what if you're interested in it. Maybe a little history from Jim would help, too, after I discuss it. But on a smokeout, it just seems to me that it's kind of a futile exercise in that not that there shouldn't be a procedure to force a bill out of the committee, but in that I suspect the number might be arbitrary, although I could be proven wrong that when it was picked originally, it maybe it comes from Mason's. I couldn't find it, but if it did, I'd like to know that. I think it's futile. I understand why we do it and why there's a mechanism to do that, but that's a futile exercise in, well, you know, this bill got heard in committee. I can't talk about the bill, but, you know, it's a really good bill, but I can't say anything about it. And then somebody stands up and says, well, it was a bad bill. We heard it in committee and, you know, can't talk about it, but so. To me, that's a futile exercise, and I think I argue the numbers are arbitrary that were picked, and frankly, if an idea that was vetted in committee has enough traction, in my opinion, I think you need a simple majority in either chamber to get it to the floor, and maybe that comes in a double-barrel motion where it's to strike the knot, so you instruct the committee to force the bill to the floor, strike the knot, and it comes then with a due pass recommendation instead of the forcing it out with the number that we have, and then, which I argue is arbitrary, and then don't have a discussion about the bill. You just have this discussion about striking a word that has nothing to do with the bill, and then you move on. If the goal is to you didn't think you got a fair process, if the motives are otherwise, if you want to get someone on record, those can all still be accomplished, because whether you get like in the House 24 or whatever, that still can be recorded. And so I don't think you lose anything. I think if we're ever going to have the discussion, this 2 years is the time to do it, where it doesn't look like we're changing it because one party or the other has an advantage. So I think it's a good thing to talk about, and I'm not going to bring an amendment. I just would like to vet it through this a little bit and get the discussion rolling. And maybe there's something I haven't thought of or don't see, but I think it's a discussion worthy of having. And I'd be interested if Jim knows where the history of the numbers that we came up with from the very beginning.
If I'm Mr. Chairman, I'm not going to be much help because it's been that way for so long. As they say, the mind of man runneth not to the contrary. So it was just, I suspect that it was probably for minority rights purposes, not necessarily partisan minority rights, but other kinds of minorities as well, to ensure that they could get the bill onto the floor. You will remember historically, well, it's not the way today, but historically, debates were much more lengthy on the floor and less so in committee, and that is a change in the culture of this body, but there was a time when the floor was much more the focal point and committees not so much, and in order to get your bill out for a discussion, you needed to be able to do so with a relatively small number of votes, and I think that would be my best explanation of why it is like it is today. So that's why the small number of votes.
Again, just to clarify that you still don't get to talk about the bill, even if you get the minority the small minority of people to support it. You don't ever get to talk about the bill until you get a simple majority of the people to vote to make sure you can talk about the merits of the bill. And I think that's why it's a discussion that's worthy of having, because, you know, if you look at it historically, I've not spent the time pulling the records, but historically they have a difficult time being forced out of committee. And so we have this discussion of, strike the knot. Don't strike the knot. And, you know, you never talk about the merits of the bill, which is, I believe, would be the intent anyway. So I just merely open it up for discussion. Maybe it has no merit. I think it's worthy of a discussion, though.
Thank you. Further remarks? Senator Olson.
I'm glad to see that it's in a discussion mode to get everybody engaged rather than to force a question today. And with that said, I would also say that from somebody's point of view that's never stood up for a smokeout, I've never stood up for a smokeout because I believe in the process. And I believe that's why we have committee work. And so to me, to make it more difficult to smoke something out is something I favor to keep us on track and keep us with the business at hand. And so I'm supportive of this concept and look forward to further dialogue on it.
Any further remarks? Representative Honoff?
Well, I appreciate it's a good discussion, and I appreciate Mr. Fry's point. For a couple of years, I had a Nebraska magazine, and it turned out our magazine was the only one paying sales tax in Nebraska, so I tried to change that, and I got to see their unicameral. In their unicameral, they allow every member, 49 members, to take a bill, their choice, and have it debated on the floor. I mean, it's a strong, powerful message that no matter how much support you have, and they had one very renegade senator, I forget his name now. Was it from? But anyway, even he nobody ever agreed with him on anything. He was an activist from Omaha, and he got to bring a bill every year and got it debated. So I think and I don't think it's necessarily a Democratic thing. I don't think we have any complaints that we've been able to get our discussions on the floor. But there are our legislators here, somewhat like that activist in Omaha, who probably feel their ideas never get a hearing outside of committee, and a hearing in committee is not the same as a hearing on the floor. I think you do have to respect that point. I mean, that it meant a lot to that fellow in Omaha, and it meant a lot to all his supporters, and he was elected like everybody else, so he has the right to bring his points to the floor, which is different than bringing them to committee.
Thank you. Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I would appreciate the comments by Mr. Fry and Representative Honhoff. I do think the hearing in the floor, or the debate on the floor, is different than it is in committee. I think the committee hearing is more thorough. It's certainly followed by testimony, immediate testimony, both for and against. I have been troubled by this notion that somehow getting it to the floor is more significant. The debate, every bill gets a hearing. Everyone gets to get heard. I think the committee process, where you have that testimony, have that questioning going on, is far more valuable than a bunch of politicians throwing up rhetoric on the floor. That's why I think the smokeout process, I have supported them, but I think it's used too frequently, and I think it really does undermine the committee process. And I think that's committee hearings are far more significant than floor debates, and I think that's something Jim Fry said the trend has been against that. I think that's why, when you have the ability to question someone right there, which the whole body does not have. So we have the benefit on the floor of hearing people go on in a very repetitious way without any background or any color that you did have in committee.
Thank you. Further remarks? Senator Rafe?
Well, I appreciate those comments, Representative Honhoff. But it still goes back to my point of it doesn't accomplish what the Nebraska legislature does. I mean, even what we do today, whether that number in the House is 24 or 36, we never get to talk about the bill. I mean, it's this, and we all say the exact same thing. I mean, it does strike the knot. Don't strike. I mean, we do. That's the only discussion we have. And you know, to me, if a bill, I guess it just, you know, watching it, especially over the last 2 years when I was Speaker, it just felt like if a bill had enough merit to be brought to the floor. Whether that number is 24 or 36, it still can be a recorded vote. It doesn't matter who brings the bill. It still can be recorded. We still have that mechanism. And the way I've been thinking about it, if you can't get a simple majority to even bring the bill to the floor, you know, if you struggle to get 24 to stand up or however vote to get it to the floor, I'm not sure what merit the bill has or what hope it has to ever pass. I mean, you know, we have that futile discussion, and then we just never get 36. And that's why I brought it up, more just from a, you know, if truly the bill has merit and there was something that happened in the committee that for whatever reason it didn't get out,
And that happens to both parties. I mean, we see it this year. There's, I mean, it happened. It's not a partisan thing. But if that bill has merit, if you can't get 36 people to at least say, let's discuss it on the floor, I'm not sure what, you know, I just feel that you should, I guess.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Hunoff?
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you. I think the current method has some faults that could be improved. I don't question that whatsoever. I think the current thing where we just go through that exercise and wait for the speaker to gavel you down makes no sense at all. And I think we've somehow modified it where people, if they really feel strongly about something, they bring amendments now, which is a kind of a new thing too. They amend something and then they get their debate. So I don't think it's necessarily so broken. And I agree with you that it's kind of senseless. I wouldn't be opposed to some kind of reform, but I do think there's something different about being able to debate it on the floor than in committee. And the great value in committee. I agree with Representative Lesser. There's a great value in committee, but there's something different about trying to educate all 70 members or 35 in Senate on the floor. You don't get that chance in committee.
Thank you. Senator Brown, did you have any comment? Anybody else? Well, and I'll just chime in on the end of this as Speaker. I think it is good for us to continue to look at this. And, you know, in order to debate the merits of the bill on the floor, you have to get to a simple majority because that's what it's required to strike the knot. So to speed that process up, is it something we need to do? I don't know. I don't think we lose anything by doing it, except for maybe we lack in some exercise. But to eliminate standing up and all those things. But otherwise, I think you end up with the same votes and the same arguments to get to the same point, and we just skip the one step. Because this, in order to even discuss the merits of the bill, you got to at some point have a simple majority. Otherwise, you never do get to. And I think that's where Senator Rave is coming from. It just up to that point, it's all an exercise of support. Well, if you have it that's smoking out, it's a simple majority, and it comes right. You don't have to worry. The knot's already struck. It's just, it ties those two together, and you know, you move on down the road and could save some time. I don't think it saves anything else, but I think it does save some time. So food for thought. Any further business for the good of the committee? Hearing none, entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move. Second.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.